Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start it up. It's B&E with you. I'll be starting up your Wednesday right here. No Bucky this morning. He's making final prep and planning for the Mullet Open on Friday. Isaiah Collier is here. We're talking all kinds of hoops. Eastern Conference Finals game one last night. Celtics, quick start, but all heat in the second half. We'll review that game coming up. So plenty of baseball. Big innings, name of the game in Major League Baseball and over at Dish Falk Field last night on the diamond. We'll get there. We're also encouraging you to get to hornfm.com and make your PGA championship picks. Zay, I made mine. You ready? And let me just say I did this. People will say, Homer, I went with who's playing the best right now. Who's playing the best? So number one group, I picked Scottie Scheffler. Had to. Number one in the world. Got to. I mean, I could be wrong. John Rahm could step up and win this thing this weekend without a doubt. A lot of people like Victor Hovland. Patrick Cantlay's playing great. But you got to pick one. I got to go with world number one and a guy who says this is his favorite golf course to play. That's pretty good. And he played well last weekend at the Byron Nelson. Didn't win it, but he was in the mix. A number two golfer, I took Jordan Spieth. Had a win at the RBC Heritage. Dang near won the Byron Nelson last week. He's my choice in pick two. Yes, back-to-back Longhorns in groups one and two. Xander Schauffele was close because I thought he played great last weekend as well in the Metroplex. He's got the game for it. You also have Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, and Sam Burns. That's a tough one in group two. Golfer three, Hideki Matsuyama. Took Matsuyama, Zay. Masters champ two Masters ago. Sticking with him, I took Daniel Berger in group four. Taking Max Homa in group five. Just won himself a tournament in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. Taking him out of group five. Also in group six, Corey Connors. Corey Connors, the Canadian, been playing really good. And how about this in group seven? I'm taking Tom Hoagie. Tom Hoagie, the TCU Horned Frog, who's having a real consistent, strong year. Going to get him. I think he's going to have a nice number. I think he'll win this thing, but he's going to give me a nice four rounds, play into the weekend, like him. Golfer eight, I've got Keegan Bradley. And then golfer nine, of course, Tiger Woods.
Easy.
Zay, I'm taking Tiger. You good with that?
Oh, yeah. You got to go with Tiger. As long as he's playing, he has a chance.
Over Justin Rose, Brian Harman, Sepp Straka, Matthew Wolf, and Minwoo Lee, I took Tiger. So Tiger's been there practicing. He looks good. He says he's in less pain. And as I said, I think my biggest concern is, can Tiger work on things between rounds? I mean, is he to a point where if something's not working and he's done with his 18, can he go over and get some work on the putting green or at the range? Or much like we saw at the Masters, he have to go straight to the ice tub and straight to the rehab. If he does, I think that'll hurt him over the course of four rounds. But excited to see the golf this weekend. Anytime Tiger's playing at this point, it's a treat for golf fans because I think a lot of us didn't expect to ever see Tiger again. Now we're going to see him this weekend. We also got Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth. You like those picks, Zay? You good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm good with those picks. Got to go with the Texas alums. They've been dominating in 2022. Good picks.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll see. A couple of texts coming in on the Deshaun Watson story of late last hour. It says, hope the NFL makes him sit. Another stupid move by a rich, stupid owner with the Cleveland Browns. Another guy said, what grounds can the NFL suspend Deshaun Watson? Thought he had to be convicted of a crime. He keeps saying legal proceedings, but they're all civil. He's not in legal trouble. Well, and that's why I said there are more questions than answers. I mean, the Browns, I think, certainly could allow him to play while all this goes on. I mean, clearly in a best-case scenario, all of this would be settled by before the season starts, and these things would be in the past. But as we found out yesterday and this week, that's not going to happen. These things are going to drag. And Deshaun Watson is in no rush to settle any of these cases. He's not going to pay out cash to settle what he doesn't think he did. So that's where we're at on the civil side. But for the Browns, I don't think the league has grounds to suspend him. And, yeah, he probably will play. But that's one of those things where if he's your starting quarterback and he's playing and all of a sudden, you know, one of these civil cases, something comes forward that, you know, makes, you know, is a terrible story, which it's already been terrible. But if more comes out, I mean, these are just the risks that they run as these things will drag all the way into March of next year. But yeah, I don't think that there's, I don't know what the NFL is going to do. I think is the bigger question. Deshaun met with the league this week down in Houston for a meeting that was seen as very important. But we'll see. You know, we're still in the middle of the summer and almost to the summer. Come August, it's going to be real interesting to see what the NFL does and what the Browns do. You know, they're planning on Deshaun Watson being their quarterback this year, it's safe to say. All right, let's get to the other headlines of the morning, get you caught up on the trending topics, and we're talking some football with Quan Cosby. UBO Business Services brings you the news, and we'll start in the NBA. Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals last night, Game 1 in Miami. Top-seeded Heat shook off a sluggish start and rolled to a 118-107 win over the shorthanded Celtics. The Heat were down 8 at halftime as the Celtics put 62 points on the board in the first half, but the Heat came out in the second half with much better on both ends. They go on a 22-2 run to start the third quarter, outscored Boston 39-14 in that frame. Jimmy Butler led the way in the game with 41 points and 9 rebounds, also had 4 blocks and 4 steals. Celtics played without starters Marcus Smart and Al Horford in that game because of a foot injury for Smart, and then Horford was a late scratch because of health and safety protocols. Coming up tonight, it's Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Luka Doncic and the Mavs facing Golden State, Steph Curry and company. Game 1 of the best of 7 is 8 o'clock tonight. Should be a really, really fun series. Also last night, the Orlando Magic won the NBA's draft lottery. They're going to have the number 1 overall pick in the draft next month, June 23rd. Oklahoma City drafts 2. Houston will draft 3. Sacramento and Detroit round out the top 5. Baseball, big innings, the theme last night. It started over at UFCU Dish Falk Field, where the 22nd-ranked Longhorns were back in action after taking the weekend off and last week for finals. And they looked sharp. Texas jumped out quick. Doug Hodo, Austin Todd singled to start the ball game, and that brought Ivan Melendez to the dish.
A stretch from the right-hander Rudis, and the pitch to Melendez. Swings and hits a high fly ball to left. This would carry back to the warning track. You can say goodnight to it. The Hispanic Titanic has struck again. Ivan Melendez, home run number 26, RBIs 77, 78, and 79. And the Longhorns grab a 3-0 lead.
They'll go on to score 7 runs in that first inning en route to a 9-2 win over Sam Houston. They get the victory. Home run number 26, as Craig Way mentioned, right there for the incredible Ivan Melendez. 4 RBIs on the night. Right-hander Zane Morehouse got the start, tossed 5 innings of 1-run ball to earn the win. Longhorns now 36-17. Big innings in Major League Baseball as well. Streaking Astros tied a Major League Baseball record last night for most home runs in a single inning. They launched 5 of them. 5 big flies off of Red Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi. Part of a 9-run second inning, Houston routed Boston 13-4 at Fenway Park. The home runs, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Jeremy Pena, Michael Brantley, and Yuli Gurriel all go big fly. Houston's won 13-15. In Arlington, Rangers were down 4-3 to the Angels late, but erupted for 7 runs in the 7th inning. They go on to win that one 10-5. Round Rock opened a quick 3-game road trip in Sugar Land with a 5-2 win.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Specs Text Line says, I have the same top 3 as you, E. Well, that's probably not good. My record in these contests, not strong, but I'm glad we're the same. I've got Scheffler, Spieth, and Matsuyama. This says the NFL suspended Zeke Elliott without any legal charges. Well, remember, we always say the NFL, it's a different league than it was when Zeke was suspended. The commissioner's power on these things has been, you know, curtailed in the latest collective bargaining agreement. The players have, you know, gotten some concessions from the league on that. Roger Goodell cannot act as judge, jury, and executioner on these things any longer. There's an arbitrator, and there has to be a felony charge for a suspension at this point, which hasn't happened and won't happen for Deshaun Watson. So, you know, there's not nearly as much gray area for Roger Goodell as there used to be. It's black and white of what he's allowed to do and when in those cases. So don't the Zeke Elliott comparisons are moot at this point. So it says conduct unbecoming by Deshaun Watson and should be suspended. Yeah, then we'll see. I don't know if that's in the CBA, though, just conduct unbecoming. But could be. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. It is our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. And he is Quan Cosby, lifetime Longhorn and a great friend, my teammate in the Mullet Open coming up on Friday. We're going to play some golf. Colin, how are you, bud?
Hey, what's up, E? How you doing, man? I'm looking forward to that. I like Lost Pine. Tough track, but I think, we get the bids up, we get a couple more good teammates, we're going to have a run at the Mullet Open.
We're going to win. That's why we're having this auction to get some ringers in there, Quan. Now, let me start with this, Quan, because you sent me a text recently with a picture of an airplane that had skidded off the runway. Were you on that airplane?
I was the only person on that airplane. So, when it happened, I didn't think much of it because it actually wasn't that scary. But when we were walking back to the actual landing strip about 250 yards away, the pilot was like, "Was that your first aviation accident?" I was like, "What? What you mean? Was I in an aviation accident?" And they got a little real and a little weird at that point. But yes, I was on it, and fortunately, I'm still here and having a good conversation. Well, it malfunctioned in kind of technology and the brakes. So yeah, we landed great, but little thing called no brakes afterwards. So thank goodness it was rainy because that ultimately is what stopped us in the mud.
Unbelievable. So the plane had no... So you were landing. Where were you landing?
Austin Executive.
Oh, okay.
And that was another great thing because there's nothing but, land and field for about 400 yards after that landing, that runway. So it was a lot of things that happened. As weird as it is that happened, there's a lot of things that happened right for me to be safe and the plane to eventually stop that day. So I'm grateful.
Oh, my gosh. Hit the runway. No brakes. No brakes. We're just going to have to stop in the mud. That's crazy. I'll post some. If you don't mind, I'll put that picture out on my Twitter and people can see it. Or I won't if you don't want me to.
No, I don't mind. It's all good.
Good. I'm glad you're okay because we're going to play some golf on Friday. Hey, Quan, let's start with the Longhorns and your overall thoughts on what you saw in the spring and what you're hearing going on. Obviously, Steve Sarkisian trying to flip the culture and change the way this team operates. What have you seen this offseason through the spring that gives you optimism?
Well, first and foremost, it's whether we like it or not, the portal, the recruiting, all the above, I think it was a great offseason. I think they're not done. I think he's been filling gaps. I think he's still, it'd be awesome to get maybe another veteran, a D lineman, and certainly a linebacker. He wants another receiver. We all do if it's old boy from Pitt, Jordan Addison. But I like the way they've been very intentional. I have the luxury. I like timing. I was with Coach Sark and Miss L'Oreal last night. They were being who they are and doing some philanthropic things around town. So, man, I'm optimistic. Sure, on the field, I really am. But really, for him as a leader of Texas football and L'Oreal as First Lady and just all they continue to do, it feels really right. I mean, I said it last night at the event, and everything he talked about as far as his optimism for moving forward and understanding the work is going to take to get it done and to be competitive and to bring us back to the national, landscape. I liked what I saw this offseason. I think we talked about it earlier. It's weird as it is, especially with the kind of the lack of immaturity we've seen or leadership we've seen in the last, few years, that the spring game just kind of looks like a game. It looks like everybody's just trying to get it over with so they can, go get ready for summer and all of that. And I just didn't see that this year. I saw it looking like a business, day. Okay, sure. After this, we're just going to, chill a little bit. It's going to be summer, but let's take care of this. And I think that's between Roshan Johnson, that's who, Coach Sark talks a lot about and his leadership. But I just see a different mindset. I see a different kind of way of going about things. And so, like I said, we all have watched the drinking the Kool-Aid video, whatever it is. But I'm close to taking a sip, I guess. But
there you go.
No, man, I certainly like what. And then you look at the rest of the 12. You can't talk about UT and not talk about what's going on up north. And clearly, we've taken one of the other head coaches. Or I guess we didn't necessarily take him, but he joined the team once they parted ways. So it's a lot of changes out in the Big 12 right now. There's a lot of moving parts, and as weird as it is, I think maybe us and Baylor might be the most kind of veteran slash put together teams, And Gundy is in Oklahoma State, but he lost a lot last year. So just the way it's shaping up, I think it really we're in a really good position with the talent we have on the 40 acres to make a run for a championship.
Quan Cosby is with us and was with Coach Sark last night at an event. Coach Sark will be in Houston today. A couple of events, the Touchdown Club of Houston. He'll speak at a luncheon, and he'll also be at the final Texas Fight event of the tour that's been going on. Sark, Quan, I mentioned earlier Inside Texas has a story, insider story about winter offseason and Sark having a team-wide competition in which eight leaders on the team, I'm assuming Roschon Johnson, one of them, drafted their fellow teammates, and the competition was based on physical competition, but more importantly for Sark, personal accountability, guys that were doing things the right way. And according to Inside Texas, as the draft was halfway in, where the players were drafting players based on accountability and the guys that they wanted to go to battle with, Sark sent the players who had been drafted halfway throughout and talked to the guys that were still in the room, essentially saying, look, this is what your captains and your teammates think of you at this point if you're undrafted. And what are you going to do to change that? I mean, you were on teams that the players ran the locker room, Quan. I mean, you walked into a situation and you came back from baseball and you were a more mature guy than most after your 4 years, your time in the minor leagues. But when you came back, you walked into a team that expected to win. There was so much leadership. And obviously, whether this works or not, I don't know for Sark, but you got to start somewhere trying to change the culture and build that leadership that you talked about that's been lacking in the program.
Oh, man, it's so true. I forgot to mention my man, Casey Studdard, actually cooked for the event. And so when you started talking about accountability, when you started talking about what it takes and ultimately what we all kind of meant to each other, I think that's what Sark's trying. I mean, I was contacted about this event, and first they're like, and we're looking for someone to cook. And I was like, oh, easy. Let's go to Whitfield. Let's go Casey. So what Sark is trying to build is that we're how many years removed, and we're still thinking of each other on that level and trying to do things in a team way and trying to support. That's what he's trying to build from a cultural standpoint. I still talk to Mac Brown. That's what he's trying to build. And again, we have a group. I've mentioned it before. We have a group me text with about 70 to 80 of us on there, checking on each other, supporting each other, and really pulling for each other. So that togetherness, man, you're talking. Y'all talked about it a lot. NIL, all this stuff. I don't think it's going to tear up a locker room, but it does have the potential to just split it just enough to cause you to not make a play in the fourth quarter and lose the game. And so he's really just getting – it's about team. On so many levels, we've heard it. A lot of talent, but are you a team? And I think these level competitions and accountability perspectives and, at the end of the day, that opportunity to kind of look around the room and say, I don't like this feeling. I don't want to not be drafted at this point. And my peers said this. I just think that's awesome, and that's what you have to do. Everybody, are we drinking the Kool-Aid and want us to go have a Big 12 run? Sure. But he's in the year two, and he's still trying to work on, fix, cultural and just different level things on the player level. Because, again, and y'all talk to me enough, and y'all know, Coach Sark, Tom, whoever it may be, me personally, I'm more of a player can fix this thing, and especially a player-led team can fix this thing faster. And so they have to make the plays. They have to, take care of business. They have to watch more film. They have to make the tackles. They have to do all of that. So I like it, man, and to get that perspective of where they even are from a peer standpoint, that's powerful in my opinion, because, sure, coaches, they get paid to do that. Well, I guess the players are now, too. But they get paid to do that. But really, what your brother thinks of you is a big deal. And I hope that the players took it that way and are doing what they need to do to stay out of the bottom half of that group.
Yeah, well said. Quan Cosby, you mentioned the new coach, Gary Patterson, not at TCU now. He's with Texas. You've been around the facility and around Gary. Sark or last week said he's just like having a second head coach. I mean, while Sark's away doing Touchdown Club and other things, Gary Patterson is there keeping an eye on things. I mean, that's invaluable. And Gary doesn't have to do all that stuff like the head coach had to do as the CEO. He can just focus on players, getting back to just all about ball and trying to build the cohesiveness. What have you seen from Gary Patterson so far and the role he's serving?
Man, I'm going to tell you, it still looks a little bit weird, but it's cool. And ultimately, y'all talked about it a couple of segments yesterday when what Saban created in his staff, in those analysts, in those different roles. And we talked, Major Applewhite, only, you know, when he left Houston, he got on that staff with Sark and only covered third downs. Can you imagine a mind like that just absolutely dissecting with a couple of even GAs added to it, covering third down? That's what, you know, Sark is creating from a staff standpoint, from a support standpoint. And he does have things to do at his event last night. He's going to Houston, going back to Fort Worth or something like that. So if he's doing all that, to have somebody on that level still steering the ship, that's invaluable. And certainly, and even adding a little more grit to it, his teams were nasty, man, in a good way. They would come after you. They had that chip on their shoulder. Now, some of it had to do with his lovely negative recruiting versus Texas, but he can still, at this point, Texas, I know we're a blue blood, but we need that chip. We need to understand that. That's what people think about. If I'm Gary, I'm telling them everything I used to say about them. You're soft, you're this, you're that, and creating that in that way. And that's what I see from them. And you know what else I see, what's actually helping me kind of understand and get a little more comfortable with him being in burnt orange, is he is living his best life. You know, certainly it didn't end the way he wanted it to at TCU, but here it doesn't seem forced. It doesn't seem like he has some weird vendetta and all that. He is loving it. He is loving the position. He is helping on so many levels. And so just seeing that joy and his willingness to kind of, sure, be like another head coach, but also, you know, when PK is doing his job, fall back and teach and mentor, it's really cool to see. And I think it's going to be a huge thing for the defense. But just, again, we just talked about it. Sark is working on culture. I think Gary can help in that department as well.
Yeah, culture and defense. You get that out of Gary Patterson, you're feeling pretty good and bring a nasty group. Quan, appreciate it, my friend, and glad you could jump on with us. And cool stuff last night with Sark and Miss Sarkisian as well, Casey Studdard. What was the event for that you had last night, Quan?
It was a St. David's Toast of the Town. And ultimately, they're giving scholarships to kids. Certainly, these things are so cool, man. For one, you take away my scholarship, I don't know that we'd be talking. I don't know if I could, I would not have been able to afford going to UT or most colleges. And very similar to the Mullet Open, talking about, you know, again, I was adopted as well. So I appreciate what, you know, Sark and Casey and St. David's is so phenomenal around the city, but also what Bucky's been doing for years and years and years, and with y'all support through the Horn and all the above. I know a lot of your sponsors, because I played in it before, are out there supporting. So kudos to this city, man. There's a lot of crazy going on around the world. So kudos to what you guys are doing, what St. David's is doing, and trying to help these either troubled kids or you know, socioeconomically poor kids change their lives. So it was fun, man. It was a great job. And like I said, they did a phenomenal job, and I know the people there appreciate it.
Good stuff, Quan. Appreciate it. Look forward to Friday. And again, if you want to play with Quan and myself, the auction is still going. It'll wrap up tomorrow, and we'll have the winner. And of course, all money raised goes to the Burke Center for Youth, which is the charity for Bucky's tournament on Friday. It'll be Quan and me and you and a buddy, you and a friend, you and a guest. All you have to do is go to the BidBid app and find it right there. Quan, thanks so much. We'll see you on Friday, my friend.
Sounds good, man. Bid it up. Let's go play some golf and have some fun. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em, brother. Hook 'em. Quan Cosby. Somebody texted, and I agree with him, said, did Quan just say 70 to 80 people on a text chain? That just gave me anxiety. Me too. I'm kind of the same way. I'm group messages, 5 or 6 is enough for me. 70 to 80 people. That's an amazing thing. And that's good insight for Quan, but what he lived, right? I mean, think about that, Zay. Quan played from 2005 through 2009, and here it is in 2022, and he's still on a text chain with 70 or 80 of his teammates and keeping up with them, and still talks to Mac Brown all the time, his head coach and his position coach. I mean, that's the family atmosphere and the culture you're trying to build. Even, you know, during name, image, and likeness and transfer portals, it's paramount to winning.
Yeah, and those memories and friendships last a lifetime, and Quan understands how powerful that could be, and hopefully this, you know, squad coming in 2022 Texas football team could grasp that.
Yeah, good stuff. And obviously, Longhorn fans longing for the days when the locker room and the culture was like it was when Quan was there, and that's what they're trying to get to. He was on board with the peer review and the draft, and players letting other players in the locker room know kind of where they, what they see and what they're doing. Good stuff there. We'll talk with Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7 coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. He's going to be on his way to Houston to cover that Touchdown Club luncheon today with Steve Sarkisian and the event tonight with the Texas Fight Tour. We'll also, if you are looking to make picks in the PGA Championship, we'll get an expert opinion in our next hour. But coming up next, we'll dive back into the NBA and the Heat's dominant second half win over the Celtics. Also preview the Mavericks and their game one with the Warriors tonight. Hit that coming back next on Beanie.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn, dragging you up over the hump. Looking forward, once we get through Wednesday, to tonight's game one of the Western Conference Finals, Dallas Mavericks, Golden State Warriors. Star-studded affair, Luka Doncic and the Mavs against Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, and a new-look Warriors. It's great to have the Warriors back in the postseason. They were out for a couple years with the injuries to Klay Thompson and hit that little lull. But, boy, they're back, and it's going to be a fun series starting tonight. We'll preview that in earnest coming up with Zay, as Zay's the basketball expert. Also, looking forward to the Mullet Open on Friday. Somebody texted me and said, hey, what's the current bid at BidBid for you and Quan's team? $447 right now is where the auction is. We're going to wrap that up tomorrow and have a winner. But we appreciate everybody that's gotten in there and bid it and bidded it up. $447 where we're at for two players. Hopefully we get a little bit above that. And we'll donate that right to the Burke Center for you. Go straight to them, and you'll get to play golf with Quan and myself. And as we talked yesterday to Wayne Miller, Louis Miller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, he'll be cooking up the dinner afterwards. The 11 o'clock shotgun on Friday out at Wolf Dancer, then dinner after, the raffle, the prizes. It's unlike any other golf. I've played in a lot of golf tournaments in my life, fortunately. This one is unlike any other when it comes to the prizes and the things that Bucky puts together and works with our partners and sponsors to give away, and it really is incredible. Looking forward to it on Friday. Also looking forward to the PGA Championship, which tees off tomorrow. A couple of Longhorn notes on the heels of our conversation with Quan, housekeeping kind of things. Quan and I were talking big picture and culture and turning this thing for Steve Sarkisian. Quan was at an event with Sark last night for St. David's, and Casey Studder was the caterer out there with Whitfield's. But as far as actual news for the Longhorns, we have a couple things. Yesterday, Bobby Burton over at Inside Texas reported that they are hearing that the Jordan Addison recruitment, the Biletnikoff Award-winning wide receiver from Pittsburgh, is a two-program race at this point. That the reports are now that Jordan Addison is not going to visit Alabama, that he's going to make a decision between Texas and USC. Visited Texas last week, visited USC over the weekend. There has been some interesting social media buzz, including Bijan Robinson, who tweeted last night right at Jordan Addison, and he tweeted at him and said, come on home. There's been some buzz that Jordan Addison could be leaning Texas, so we'll keep an eye on that. There was also the reports yesterday on Ajai Hall. Ajai Hall is the Alabama transfer who's coming to Texas, and there was some scuttle that maybe he's not going to come to Texas, and I don't know if that would be related to the potential of Jordan Addison joining. But Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 this morning reports that Ajai Hall will be enrolling at Texas, because the scuttle was he's not on the Texas roster, Ajai Hall, to which people pointed out, well, they didn't take him off the roster. He's never been on the roster. He will enroll at Texas in June. He's finishing up his semester at Alabama and is going to enroll this coming month with the Longhorns. And what Chip Brown wrote is that the Alabama transfer receiver Ajai Hall will be enrolled at Texas by the end of the month, according to Ajai Hall's Team Tampa 7-on-7 coach Woodrow Grady, in response to reports raising questions about the move. At least two reports Tuesday noted that Hall has removed all posts and photos relating to him joining the Longhorns from his social media accounts. The reports also led to questions being raised on social media about whether he's going to, if his name was removed from the roster. But his 7-on-7 coach said people need to check blank before they write blank, Grady told Horns 24/7, the reports are complete BS. Another source close to Ajay Hall says he will be in Austin next week to get settled and begin summer classes and workouts with the Longhorns. Got it? Clear?
Yeah, that's good news.
Zay, you know, waiting on Jordan Addison's decision, feeling good about the Longhorns, but obviously USC, a strong contender as well. Ajay Hall coming in as well, speedster out of Alabama, and that wide receiver room. So we'll follow those for you as the Longhorns head into the offseason. All right, so we've got hoops last night. I mean, Jimmy Butler, what can you say about the Miami Heat? It was kind of a sluggish start. Boston, even without Al Horford and Marcus Smart, two starters out, really controlled the first half, and they were winning 62-54 at the half, Zay. Second half, third quarter, I mean, Jimmy Butler said, you know what, let's go ahead and hit the accelerator. He had 27 of his 41 in the second half. He also shot over 60% from the floor. Jimmy Butler, it's the fifth time in his playoff career he's got a 40-point night in the postseason on 60% shooting. That ties him with Charles Barkley for the third most over the last 30 seasons. That's efficiency. Only players with more 40-point nights on 60 or more percent shooting, LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal. And Jimmy Butler joins that. He also had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a couple block shots. The only other players to have a 45-5-4 playoff game, LeBron James, Paul Pierce, Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, and Larry Bird.
Those were some decent guys.
Pretty good. How about Jimmy Butler last night, Zay?
He was incredible to have 41 points and not make a 3-point shot. Man, that just shows what kind of work that he was giving the Celtics. And I don't really know if it's as big as a Heat win as it is a Celtic loss, especially with no Marcus Smart and no Al Horford, which they're not going to have Al Horford. If you look at the NBA rules, it usually says 5 days, which means he won't be out, you know, till maybe game 3, maybe game 4. So that's huge because he's been a juggernaut defender for the Celtics this whole time, guarding Giannis, guarding Kevin Durant at times throughout these playoffs, and he definitely would be guarding the Heat's second-best player in Bam Adebayo. And obviously Marcus Smart being a defensive player of the year, he would have the assignment on Jimmy Butler. So with the Celtics beating the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday and then turn around playing on Tuesday without two starters that will probably give you over 38 minutes a game, that hurts a lot, and the Heat took advantage of that.
They sure did. They sure did. And, yeah, the Marcus Smart thing can't be underestimated. He's the defensive player of the year in the league, and Jimmy Butler goes for 41. I mean, that's it would be his guy. I mean, that would be where it would go, and obviously without him, huge. And but it's a long series. Boston lost game 1 to Milwaukee at home and still came back to win the series. They've got some mental toughness to them. Tonight, Zay, 8 o'clock tip. It's Mavericks and Warriors. We talked a little bit earlier. Sounds like you are favoring the Mavs in this best of 7.
I am. I like the Mavs in 7 just because Luka's that good. He's that dude. And at this point of his career, he's absolutely unstoppable. And there's nobody on the Warriors team that they're going to match him up with for the full length of the game that will be able to slow him down. And that's including Draymond Green, who I think is a Hall of Famer defender. And, you know, Draymond, he's a great defender and all, but he does so many different things, especially down low in the post. You don't want to put him on a player like Luka because that will take away for what he does a lot offensively. So you'll see a little bit of Jonathan Kuminga on him, Andrew Wiggins. Remember, no Gary Payton II because Dylan Brooks took him out on that.
That's right.
You know, bro code call. So it'll be tough for the Warriors to stop the Mavericks because when Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie are cooking, which with the way Spencer Dinwiddie played in Game 7 against the Suns, look for him to come with that same energy and confidence in the Western Conference Finals. But the Warriors are the Warriors. I just think the Mavs, I think the Mavs have the philosophy to take the guys down, especially with the lack of depth that the Warriors have at the end of the day.
Yeah, Steve Kerr is back. The COVID protocols for the Warriors on the bench, that chess match with he and Jason Kidd at the head coaching level will be great, especially defensive adjustments, trying to handle, you know, all-time Hall of Fame players offensively should be fun. Zay likes, and I like your thought of Draymond Green maybe checking Luka in big moments of the fourth quarter, but not the whole game, just because he is that good. And I don't know. I mean, Luka's just that good. I don't know. I think the league is to the point of what do you do? I mean, you said he's a cross between Larry Bird and LeBron James. I mean, I think, and I know people hear that and think, wow, that's crazy, Zay. Well, not really. He plays the game. LeBron has said Luka plays the game like I play the game. He plays my game. He's just such a powerhouse going to the basket. But he also has the skill, you know, the shooting touch of a Larry Bird, the passing ability of a Larry Bird, the physicality when he wants to of a Larry. I mean, just
and that a-hole about him that Larry had. Yeah. He has that a-hole about him that I can't be stopped. I will talk to you throughout this game and let you know what moves I'm doing before I do them because I feel like I'm the best player on the court. And that confidence that, you know, resonates through that whole entire team, man, with Bertrand and Keebler being stretch fives. There's going to be so many threes taken this game. The team that makes the most threes will win the series. And guys like Jordan Poole, they ain't trying to guard Luka. Like Klay, he ain't trying to guard Luka at this point of his career. All those guys are going to be so wide-eyed. And Jalen Brunson, the way he's cooking. I like the Mavs, man. I do.
Oh, and Mavs fans like to hear that. They're four wins away from the NBA Finals. And Luka Doncic taking center stage and maybe taking over the league. We'll talk about it. Coming back, Zay will lead us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show. Also, we're going to get some expert picks on the PGA Championship coming up, which tees off tomorrow in Tulsa. We'll do that after the top of the hour. Also, we'll get into, in hot or not, the Ivan Melendez factor. We told you it was only, as of last night, only four more times to see him at Dish Falk Field potentially. Well, if you missed it last night, you missed another big night for the Hispanic Titanic. Details next.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot not on a get-you-over-the-hump Wednesday, and hot for sure, Ivan Melendez again last night. First inning, third batter of the ballgame for the Longhorns. Bottom of the first, three-run homer. Single for Hutto, single for Todd, Jack. For Ivan Melendez, number 26 on the year. Longhorns go on to win that game 9-2, seven runs in the first inning. You know, I know there's good ball players out there, but if Ivan Melendez is not player of the year in college baseball, he leads the nation in batting average right now at 421. He leads the nation in home runs at 26. Got 80 RBIs. He's slugging 942. And another statistic, Zay, that he leads the nation in by a lot, total bases. I always like to go to total bases, which means are you getting on base? Are you scoring runs? Ivan Melendez leads the nation in total bases, 179 now. Next closest is at 161. He's walked 44 times on top of his 80 hits, his 26 home runs, his 17 doubles. He's driven in 80. I mean, this guy is a machine at the plate. Had another big night last night with the Longhorns' victory. Only three more opportunities to see Ivan Melendez at Dish Falk Field, potentially. They've got Kansas this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. The Longhorns are not guaranteed any home games beyond that. And so if you want to get out and see a guy who could end up as the college baseball player of the year, I want to see the get out there and check it out this weekend. Also on the hot side, speaking of Texas baseball, great to hear that our good friend Keith Moreland is doing good. Keith Moreland, of course, you hear him on our radio broadcast with Craig Way, but he also is a fixture on the Longhorn Network TV broadcast with Greg Swindell. Zonk had a heart procedure this week. I believe he had a valve inserted into his heart, and as of yesterday, doing good, alert, talking, and on his way to recovery. So we're happy to hear that with Keith Moreland, one of the best in the biz, without a doubt. Also on the hot side, hey, how about this last night, Zay? The Boston Red Sox starting pitcher Nathan Eovaldi, who happens to be a Houstonian. He's from Alvin, Texas. He was facing the Astros at Fenway Park. Five pitches it took to get through the first inning. Going three up, three down, and five pitches. Second inning, he gave up five home runs.
Brutal.
Yeah, five. And Alex Cora, his manager, kept him in there to give up all five of them. He becomes the third pitcher ever to give up five home runs in one inning. The Astros, the eighth team ever to have five jacks in a ball game or in one inning of a ball game.
Yeah, I feel the skipper. You're not messing up our rotation because you stunk it up in the second.
Hey, Alvarez, Tucker, Pena, the phenomenal rookie, Michael Brantley, Yuli, Gurriel, all went deep. Houston goes on to win 13-4. They've won 13-15. So that was hot for sure. Nathan Eovaldi, not so much. Isaiah Collier is our tremendous producer, leading us through some things we've missed halfway through this show. Zay, what's up this morning?
All righty. ESPN has a new 30 for 30 about to come out. about the early 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh.
That's right. The intense Baltimore Ravens, Shannon Sharp, Ray Lewis, Trent Dilfer, the team that beat the New York Giants in that Super Bowl. And it should be interesting, but will they talk about the Ray Lewis murder?
They better. You know, I mean, they better. Is Michael Jordan producing this one like he did his own documentary? I'm just kidding. Yeah, ESPN Films announces 30 for 30 documentary of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. They have to. I mean, it's a centerpiece of the story, is it not?
Yeah, I think so.
And Ray Lewis and what happened at the Super Bowl. Yeah, has to.
I don't know how I got blood on this white-ass suit.
I got to look up the year because there was a year in and around there where the Ravens were the team for Hard Knocks. If you remember, one of the best seasons ever of the HBO series. And that was is Tony Siragusa. Remember him, the big defensive lineman? He was part of that. But that was a great team. 30 for 30. I'm in. I'm liking these things behind the scenes. Get to know these teams a little closer. I did watch the documentary on the New York Mets from the 80s.
Yeah, that one was really good.
Oh, my God. Was that 30 for 30?
Yeah, it was like a four-parter.
Yes, it was really good. I grew up hating that team as an Astros fan because they beat them in 86 in that NLCS. But, yeah, that team had Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry and Keith Hernandez. This team, it was a great team, maybe one of the great defenses of all time. Yeah, I'm hot on that. I'm in. ESPN Films, 30 for 30, Baltimore Ravens 2000. But, yeah, the Ray Lewis story needs to be prominent within that. I would guess. Hey, coming back, we are going to reset your headlines. We'll also get you expert picks on the PGA Championship. Who's our buddy Brett Garrett going to be taking in our Horn FM Golf Contest? Guys he favors. Also, the return of Tiger Woods. What's this Phil Mickelson situation? He's not going to be there. We'll talk to Brett coming up with Titleist Golf and some thoughts that he has. Also, more on the Longhorns' pursuit of Jordan Addison and the latest on the Ajay Hall situation. Is he coming or not? All details we'll get to. It's part of a busy Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.